Camp meetings, their object, and how to conduct them. How to secure attendance. Previous to one of our camp meetings, I seemed one night to be in an assembly met for consultation as to the work to be done before the camp meeting. It was proposed to make large efforts previous to the meeting and incur heavy expense for distributing notices and papers. Arrangements were being made to do this when one who is wise in council said, "Set your tents, begin your meetings, then advertise, and more will be accomplished. The truth, as spoken by the living preacher, will have greater influence than the same matter will have when published in the papers. But both methods combined will have still greater force. It is not best plan to follow one line of efforts year after year. Change the order of things. When you give time and opportunity, Satan is prepared to rally his forces, and he will work to destroy every soul possible. Work after the meeting rather than before. Do not arouse opposition before the people have had opportunity to hear the truth and know what they are opposing. If a press could be secured to be worked during the meeting, printing leaflets, notices, and papers for distribution, it would have a telling influence. At some of our camp meetings, strong companies of workers have been organized to go out into the city and its suburbs to distribute literature and to invite people to the meetings. By this means, hundreds of persons were secured as regular attendants during the last half of the meeting who otherwise might have thought little about it. We must take every justifiable means of bringing the light before the people. Let the press be utilized, and let every advertising agency be employed that will call attention to the work. This should not be regarded as unessential. On every corner you may see placards and notices calling attention to various things that are going on, some of them of the most objectionable character. And shall those who have the light of life be satisfied with feeble efforts to call the attention of the masses to the truth? Those who become interested have to meet sophistry and misrepresentation from popular ministers, and they know not how to answer these things. The truth presented by the living preacher should be published in as compact a form as possible and circulated widely. As far as practicable, let the important discourses given at our camp meetings be published in the newspapers. Thus, the truth which was placed before a limited number may find access to many minds. Precious light will be shed on the pathway of those who sit in darkness. Put your light on a candlestick, that it may give light to all who are in the house. If the truth has been given to us, we are to make it so plain to others that the honest in heart may recognize it and rejoice in its bright rays. Nathanael prayed that he might know whether or not the one announced by John the Baptist as the Messiah was indeed the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. While he was laying his perplexities before God and asking for light, Philip called him and in earnest, joyful tones exclaimed, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." But Nathanael was prejudiced against the Nazarene. Through the influence of false teaching, unbelief arose in his heart, and he asked, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip did not try to combat his prejudice and unbelief. He said, "Come and see." Philip was wise, for as soon as Nathanael saw Jesus, he was convinced that Philip was right. His unbelief was swept away, and faith, firm, strong, and abiding, took possession of his soul. Jesus commended the trusting faith of Nathanael. There are many in the same position as was Nathanael. They are prejudiced and unbelieving because they have never come in contact with the special truths of these last days or with the people who hold them, and it will require but an attendance at a meeting full of the Spirit of Christ to sweep away their unbelief. No matter what we have to meet, what opposition, what effort to turn souls away from the truth of heavenly origin, we must give publicity to our faith, that honest souls may see and hear and be convinced for themselves. Our work is to say, as did Philip, "Come and see." We must not put our light under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light to all that are in the house.
We hold no doctrine that we wish to hide. To those who have been educated to keep the first day of the week as a sacred day, the most objectionable feature of our faith is the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. But does not God's word declare that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God? And although it is not an easy matter to make the required change from the first to the seventh day, this change must be made. It involves a cross. It clashes with the precepts and practices of men. Learned men have taught the people until they are full of unbelief and prejudice. And yet we must say to these people, come and see. God requires us to proclaim the truth and let it discover error.